Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, what makes a man a great father? Our guest expert is Dr. Brad Hoover. A big welcome to you, Dr. Hoover, and to you, our listeners. Now my monologue. Today's society seems to have lost respect for dads. Many television sitcoms show dad as a bungling idiot. In many states, family courts seem to have a bias against dads and rarely impose joint custody and seldom award custody to dads. What is worse, is that because dads are considered dispensable and disposable, almost half of our babies are born to single mothers. Even Governor George Huckabee explained that his parenting was the hardest thing he has ever done. Harder, he said, and I quote, harder than being governor, running for president, or producing his daily radio show or his weekly television show. I asked, was it hard for him because he was spending too much time away? Perhaps. But as difficult as it may be, dads are incredibly important. Yet one of the big problems in today's world is that so many boys and girls lack fathers. Not long ago, I interviewed 9 men who were applying for military service, aged 17 to 24. Only one had lived with both of his biological parents. 2 had no ideas who their fathers were. 5 others lived with their single moms. 1 lived with his mom and stepbrothers and sisters while his mother, quote, divorced one husband after another. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many great single parents who have raised or are raising wonderful kids. We discussed single parenting on a show a month or so ago, and it was a real pleasure to talk with a single mom who raised 2 very successful sons, one of whom has just started medical school at my alma mater, Medical College of Wisconsin, after her sudden and unexpected death of her husband. Today, one of our problems is there are dads of all kinds who have no idea what fathering is all about or what they are doing. All this proven by the high number of high school dropouts and the ever-burgeoning problem of juvenile delinquency. On a recent Father's Day, there were 3 editorial guests in the Tennessean about the importance of fathers. Guest columnist Mark White wrote, in 2017, 43.6% of children in Tennessee were born to single mothers. And it is a fact that more poverty exists in single-parent homes. Columnist Lynn Norman added, research shows that when a child is raised in a fatherless home, he or she is 4 times at greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavior problems, to commit crimes, to go to prison, to face abuse and neglect, to abuse drugs and alcohol, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, and girls are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as teenagers. Additionally, murder and suicide now outrank accidents as the number 1 and 2 causes of teen deaths in the United States. It's not a pretty picture. To be sure, our society does not lend itself to easy fathering or mothering. Many churches are closed and boarded up, and public schools are being penalized for allowing students to pray. The 10 Commandments are banned from public buildings, and some employees are still forbidden to say Merry Christmas. Part of the problem is that too many parenting experts and parents think parenting is about children. But the first word in parenting is parent. Parenting is about the parent. Mothering is about the mother. And fathering is about the father. So here are a few things every dad should do. First, let your family know you love their mother. know in actions and in words. Respect her. Help her. Don't be afraid to show her affection. Yes, even in front of the kids. And date her. If you and their mom are divorced, tell them that even though you and she are no longer in love, she is still the best mom for them. And prove it by never speaking negative about her and doing your best to get along with her. Just because you have a bad marriage doesn't mean you should have a bad divorce. 2, be a parent. That is an advisor, teacher, confidant, good role model, but not a friend. 3, be home for dinner 5 nights every week and be involved in table conversation with your family. Listen to what your kids have to say. If 5 nights are impossible, make it at least 3 nights and complement that with breakfast and lunch together as often as possible. 4, avoid TV and all electronic devices while eating and when your kids are doing homework or chores. And if you are watching a family show together, turn off the sound during the commercials and discuss the show with them. Ask what they think about what they have seen and what you have seen. 5, never allow kids, including teens, to have a cell phone or computer in their bedroom. 6, read or do your homework when kids are doing theirs. Read out loud as a family. Start when you share reading out loud with them. Keep reading to them as they mature. And when they become teens, they'll love it, cherish it. And when they're in college, they'll tell their friends of this wonderful family tradition. Start now. Even teens will enjoy it. And so will you. 8, in short, be the person you want your kids to become. Yes, it really is that easy. Now let me introduce our guest, Dr. Brad Hoover. Dr. Hoover is an emergency medicine physician and has his degree from University of Tennessee. He is currently Regional Medical Director for Envision Physical Physician Services, managing HCA emergency departments in the Nashville area and Northern Georgia. He is a proud veteran of Desert Shield and Desert Storm. He serves as board chairman of Small World Ministries, an international adoption agency located in Hermitage, Tennessee. He and Michelle have been married for 30 years and have 3 adopted children. Both are avid adoption and pro-life advocates. I'm sure you remember them as our guests on the miracle of adoption. Welcome, Brad, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org.
Thank you, Paul. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Brad, tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, Michelle and I have been married now. We're going on our 31st year. We have, as you mentioned, 3 children through the miracle of adoption. Of course, you know, we're all adopted into the Christian faith by way of, grafting in, as Paul mentioned. So adoption is very important to us. And without the miracle of adoption, we would, be childless. My oldest son would be 20 since he is graduated to heaven as of 2005 from a brain tumor, but we still include him, of course, when I number my children. My daughter Aubrey's 23 and is an esthetician. So that's a little bit about my family. We live in Brentwood, Tennessee. And as you said, I'm a physician and I've been doing that for over 30 years. So it's quite a challenging time.
It sure is. Brad, could you define the role of father in a family?
Well, you touched on a couple of items. You know, I think you could talk that question right there. I could spend the whole hour trying to define that. So I try to narrow things down and try to think, well, how do I define it? You know, it's simple. And you touched on 2 things that I'd like to expound upon. One was loving your mother. No, none other than Father Theodore Herzberg, the president. And if that happened more often, as you alluded to, we probably would not see the amount of single parenthood that we do. The single mothers out there doing the best they can. And as you say, they do a fantastic job. But, you know, they should have help, all right? So the most important thing to do, a father can do, is to love their mother, and no matter what. And the second thing, I think, I like to kind of make things into 2. The second, I like to borrow off of a verse in Proverbs that talks about train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. Well, Paul Spurgeon, he says, trap a child in the way he should go and don't depart from it. He's talking about yourself, okay? So not only, tell your kids what to do, but more importantly, show them.
Be the person you want them to become.
Absolutely. You have to demonstrate. Who was it? Father or St. Thomas of Aquinas, I think, said, at all times, preach the gospel. And when you have to, use words or something. I think I probably mucked that up, but I know what he's saying. He's saying, live your life as the gospel. And when you have to, use words. So, again, these little nuggets of wisdom I'll try to apply in my view of fatherhood and my own father.
Well, now, you bring up another really important point, and that's the spirit. Fathers need to be a spiritual leader. And
right.
Yet we find more kids on the soccer field on Sunday morning than we do in churches. And children are definitely pulled more to soccer or other sports than they are to church. But how do we get our kids interested in church? What is father's role in doing that?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because, the world not only has changed, right, since, I was a child and whatnot, and even, from 20 years ago, but it will continue to change. And I think you have to change with it. Now, your point about kids being in soccer on Sunday morning is true, especially with the club soccer where these parents are paying a lot of money for them to do it. It's important for them to be at these games. My own kid was in club soccer up until last year. But here's the thing. As a father, I think, as a leader, you have to be proactive. All right, well, every Sunday, if he's got a game Sunday morning, well, I'm going Sunday afternoon to Mass, or I'm going Saturday night to Mass. There is a time somewhere, and location doesn't matter. You have to use what's available, I think, in terms of technology. A friend of mine turned me on to masstimes.org, where you can type that into your phone or a laptop, and you can find a nearby mass wherever you are. You have your choice, and so we're at a soccer tournament in Huntsville, Alabama, last year, and masstimes.org, we had a gap between our first and second game. Off we go to mass. It's a wonderful experience. If you can't be at home, go somewhere else, but you have those days. You can't be, passive about it, or as you say, things will get passed over, and before you know it, it's been 6 months before you grace the inside of a church, and it's just not right. I mean, a congregation is important. You have to have a church family. It is important.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly on that one, Brad. We talked a little bit in the past about Bishop Olmsted's exhortation to men, entitled "Into the Breach." And he says that we need that there's a breach between society and religion and theology, and that we need to get into that breach and bring our kids into it. He urged Catholic men to embrace their essential roles as protectors and defenders of the faith, and therefore of the family. He mentioned 12 themes, you probably remember them, that he considers very important: masculinity, brotherhood, leadership, as areas men should pursue for their communities. Then they mentioned fatherhood, family, and life as domestic responsibilities, and defined spiritual welfare and the sacraments and prayer and evangelization as other essentials. How do we as those together?
It's an incredibly, descriptive exhortation. It's a 50-page document. It can be, you look at face, when you first open it, you're like, wow, there's no way. But again, you have to break it down, take it in segments, and find what really applies to you that day or that week or that month. For example, first off, before I get started, it's really pretty scary what he talks about, how many persons have left the Catholic faith since the turn of the century. I mean, it's startling. And he said, there's the gap right there. There's a gap of folks leaving our church. As men, we are called to, like you say, stand in that breach. And this is, and then you're right. He goes into all these ways you can do it. Well, so for one example, and I think you might mention this later, but I'll mention it now. He says you and the father and the wife should be complementary, not competitors, complementary. And that goes for everything, as far as, you know, your faith journey, as far as, you know, the home life and the way you discipline your kids, it's complementary. And that's what Michelle and I strive to do. And I think the thing of that exhortation, it should be required reading really for all men throughout the world. Well, that'll never happen. So the ones that we can get it to, we pull out those parts that we find that are speaking to us right then and right now, and you know, and do it. I mean, you go on and you talk about, he talks about friends. But, you know, the Catholic men have to pick their friends carefully, or what happens? Well, we're off, you know, carousing, or they're going to before you know it, you're going to a bachelor party at a place you really shouldn't be. You have to be proactive and intentional about that. So again, it is startling. It is a bit scary, but I find it inspiring to go in there, and I'll keep it forever, to go in there and pick out those things that you need to focus on that very day, that week, that month, going forward.
You know, Brad, it's so important to get to have people read that exhortation, and it, yes, for women as well as for men, and to work on those things together. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a web link on my Facebook page, parenting-matters.com, and I'll put that on there at the end, and so that they can go there and find that, because it's easy read. It's only about 45, 50 pages, and it's just outstanding. Now, the Knights of Columbus have taken those 12 points that he mentions and made them into 12 videos. Brad, I once had a priest tell me, this was a number of years ago, we were talking about women priests. And he said, well, he wouldn't have any problem with that, except he says that it's been long known that how men react to religion is how their kids will react. And he said, if a father has the faith, his kids will follow him. If a mom does not have, but dad does, he'll follow them. But if the mom has the faith and the dad doesn't, the kids will all soon be lost. So, and I thought that, have you experienced anything of that in your life as you look back?
That's a great question. I haven't in my personal life, because my parents were both church going and God fearing. Now, I grew up Protestant, so I'm a little bit, you know, of a different mode when it comes to that. But I have had friends where it's been more 50-50. It's just an internal feeling, and maybe they had a good friend that led them to Christ and led them to the faith and whatnot. So no, I can't say that I've seen that consistently. But to your point, you know, I grew up Protestant. My wife was Catholic from birth. When it came time to be married, and I believe this may be a question later, but I'll go ahead and answer it now. We decided that, you know, again, the old saying, the family that prays together stays together. I firmly believe that. And I joined the Catholic faith at age 25 and have never looked back. And it's just hugely important that both parents, if in the household, you know, are church and God fearing, so that the children can follow.
Fred, I was talking to a lot of kids' parents over the course of being a pediatrician for 40 years. And so many of them, especially in the last 20 years or so, have said that, well, we had a great marriage until the kids came. And then when the kids came, everything just went to pot. It was so hard. We just couldn't handle that. And marriage is, well, that seemed so foreign to me.
Well, I saw that question and I thought, well, you have to, again, I think the word goes back to proactive. You have to decide prior to marriage, if you're going to, you know, have kids, and if so, you know, what number, you know, and or is adoption a part of the plan? If natural children didn't work out, Michelle and I worked out all of that stuff before marriage and the preparation time, and in the first couple of years, you know, no marriage is a cakewalk, but you have to have some things that you agree upon really as you go in, or as you say, when they happen, and there's two kids and in 2 years, and then there's a set of twins after that. Yeah, things can quickly spiral out of control, but it has to be agreed upon before. So a little bit of proaction goes a long way when it comes to major decisions like having kids and what faith you're going to follow if you choose to follow a faith.
And also how you're going to discipline and what kind of, what are you going to expect out of the kids as far as school and grades and sports and all that kind of stuff that you can get with them.
That's correct.
Now, this COVID thing has really upset everything in the whole Walcart. Do you think it's, you know, you're an emergency physician, you know what's going on in all the communities. Do you think it's safe for kids to go to school now, or what should we do about that issue?
I think it's safe for the kids to go to school. You know, the COVID is going to affect, you know, I tell my friends this. I said, if you're old and you're a male and you're either a Latino or a Black American, or, you know, you're overweight, look out. Otherwise, you know, you're probably going to do okay, right? 80% of the people who pass away are, you know, 65, 70 and above. However, so the kids, I think, are safe. The problem is, you know, are the teachers safe? I'm a little bit concerned about those kids or those teachers that may fall into those categories. Obviously, they're at more risk, right? And, you know, kids come from households where there are many people in the house sometimes, where, you know, COVID will rip right through the whole household. I've had many patients that come in and, you know, the whole household's affected. Certain ethnic groups tend to congregate and live together. And, you know, I've had whole groups of a whole housekeeping group of my sister's nursing home where she works down in San Antonio. The whole housekeeping plan is out with COVID. So I'm concerned about that, but I am encouraged too about the tapering off that we're seeing, at least here in Tennessee. You know, the masks do work. Social distancing has always worked. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't believe in any conspiracy theories. Again, I'm on the front line. I'm seeing these things. So I'm speaking from experience. So to answer your question, I'm not worried about the kids. A little worried about the teachers, but we just got to watch what's going on in the communities.
Well, I agree with you totally, Brad. We're concerned about our teachers, especially the older ones. And that's the group we need to be most concerned about. But Brad, as far as the kids are concerned, you know, the CDC said there were 76 kids in the United States so far this year who have died from coronavirus. But 12,000 are expected to die this year from unintentional injuries. And even worse, more than 1,700 die of child abuse or child neglect. And a figure you won't have any trouble believing, but over 6 million kids are treated in emergency departments because of unintended injuries. And I'm sure an additional number goes to see their own private doctors. Brad, what can we do about this this tragedy of childhood accidents?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is the mainstream media likes to focus on sensationalism. And you have to realize that they're going to focus on this coronavirus because that's what's making the news. That's what gets people's attentions, obviously, and sometimes to their detriment, because, you know, there's all kinds of stress and depression going on now. We're seeing that now in the ERs due to what's going on. But to your point about childhood trauma, I mean, we could go on and on. You just scratched the surface. There's 18,000 plus deaths from opiate overdose. That's not specifically kids, but young adults. Okay. We didn't mention suicide and the mental health issue. There's a lot of kids who are suffering with that, either, you know, attempting to harm themselves, harming themselves, things like that. So this problem, we have to just continue to fight to keep it in the forefront and to advocate for kids' safety. And the American Academy of Pediatrics is front and center in this. And I know you know this, you've been a lifelong member, but they know what they're talking about when it comes to protecting kids. So I think, you know, you get on their website and follow along with their guidelines, and that's a good start.
Okay. We're almost out of time, Brad, but just want to ask you briefly, what kind of things did you enjoy doing with your kids?
Well, and, you know, it doesn't involve, you know, lots of money when what I do with my kids. But here recently, I have been hiking. I mean, it doesn't cost anything except time. Okay, there is a cost of time, but that time is, you know, the investment there, the dividends are lifelong. To go to an area park you know, here in town, or, you know, maybe even an hour and a half away. You have to plan for it. You check the weather, you know, get your water, but getting out in nature and walking up and down hills with or without your dog, or it's
all the good things that God gave us.
And they don't cost anything. You're right.
Right. Well, Brad, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure talking to you on WBOU 104.5 on your FM dial and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Before I go, just one quick story. Several years ago, I was flying from Anchorage to Atlanta, and I had a 25-year-old man dropped into the seat beside me. He was dressed in jeans and sweatshirt, and he was just unshaven and just a nice-looking kid. But he opened up his backpack and took out a copy of Tolstoy's Resurrection and began to read it. When he took a break sometime later, I asked him if he was a professor or a college student, and he replied, no, he was just a worker in Prudhoe Bay oil fields. Then he went on to tell me he loves reading, and he especially loves the classics. I've read every classic you can imagine, some of them many times. But he said, I enjoy it so much. He said, my dad was an English professor at New England College. After dinner every night, he would read to us. He would read classics. He'd read stories, he'd read whatever we had in the house. And sometimes we would read with him. But we were always there to read, hear, listen to Dad's books. And he said, when I finished high school, I was tired of classes. I was tired of papers. And I just wanted to get out and work and make some money. So I came up to the oil fields, and I've been here ever since. And now my two brothers both have their PhDs, and they're both professors. But I make more money than both of them put together. So my thought is that we should continue and do what he does. So now for your homework. Get your spouse and any friends or relatives who have kids together and listen to this show again on www.parenting-matters.com. Let your kids see you reading. Turn off your TV. Read to your children regardless of their age. You don't have to read all the classics or even one of the classics, but just read, because reading is the best way to impart knowledge and bring joy to yourself and your family. Then go to my website, www.parenting-matters.com. Click on homework and tell us how you and your kids reacted. And if there's something you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to discuss it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.